Acts chapter 26 and verse 12. So Paul is speaking and he is telling of his conversion. And he says, "Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But arise, and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people, unto the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, but for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with him. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, This man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, This man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. Amen. May God bless to us this reading from his word. We have heard the Apostle Paul give his personal testimony several times before. And it is lovely to see the way in which the Apostle uses his own experience in order to open up the gospel to men and women. And that is what he is doing here again today. He is speaking to Agrippa and Bernice, and he is speaking to Festus and all the others who are there gathered in Caesarea. Paul has been in prison for well over 2 years, and he is in bonds because of the preaching of the gospel. So when this court is held, And when Paul is brought before Agrippa, who is a Jew, Festus, who was a Roman, and he is caused to defend himself, he does so by once again giving his personal testimony. And that is something that is worth remembering. If ever we have the opportunity to speak to someone about the gospel, it is a good place to start to tell them what the Lord has done for us. Tell them about what you know. Tell them about what you've seen. Tell them about what you've heard. Tell them about the way in which the gospel is meaningful to you. Tell them about sins forgiven. Tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ who died and shed his blood. So Paul uses his own experience to tell what he knows and what he has learned. And I just want to draw your attention to a couple of things about this passage that we have read today. Because I want you to know, I've spent quite a bit of time dwelling upon these verses, more time perhaps thinking about them than I have at my disposal to speak about them this morning. But here's the point that I want to make. Paul's defense is superb. The way in which he addresses the court, the way in which he draws the threads of his argument and combines them together with the knowledge that Agrippa has of the Old Testament, he is very carefully crafting and weaving together his argument at this time in a way which is undeniable, bringing his own personal experience and yet simply, directly and truthfully setting before them the Lord Jesus Christ, his accomplishments of death and resurrection and the salvation that comes from him. And he also shows Agrippa, Festus, and the rest of the court there, that his ministry, that for which he has been arrested by the Jews, is actually a commission from Christ. That he believes that he was called to this role and that he has been fulfilling this role to the best of his ability, and he has been faithful in it, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the Gentiles as he was called. So that he is not hiding anything, but that he is clearly showing that this is a message which is to go out to all the world. And he teaches that there is nothing in his ministry that contradicts Moses and the prophets, which of course was the central part of the accusations that were brought against him by the Jews. And he speaks of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, who sent Paul with his gospel to the Gentiles. And he says in verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance amongst them which are sanctified by faith that is in me, that is in Christ. I think it's lovely to see that this was the great burden that Paul had. But we can also tell from the things that Paul is saying here that he did not believe as the vast body of the Jews believed, that men and women were sanctified by their obedience to God's law, that they were justified, that they were made holy by obedience to Moses' commandments. Rather, the Apostle Paul says, no, we are sanctified, we are set apart, we are converted by faith that is in Christ. We desire to live holy lives to glorify him who has already sanctified us by faith. And that might be Christ's faith or our faith in Christ, both of which are gifts of grace to sinners like you and like me, to Paul and Agrippa and Bernice and Festus and all those to whom he spoke, whether it was the Jews or the Gentiles to whom he had been sent. You see, this was the message. This was the message of the gospel. And the Apostle Paul took the opportunity and occasion of his defense here in the court in Caesarea once again to preach forth the gospel of Jesus Christ and how men and women are made holy by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. To which message, to which ministry, says Paul, I have been obedient. And I think that that is a lovely, wonderful summary of gospel preaching. You see, it wasn't that Paul had the power to effect those changes in men and women, but it was the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that quickens sinners and uses the message of the gospel, the message of Christ's death and resurrection and his ascension into glory, to open eyes, to convert hearts, to free captives, to grant forgiveness, to ease consciences, and to bestow faith, which Paul had witnessed amongst the Jews and amongst the Gentiles and wherever he had preached the gospel. And so powerful was Paul's explanation and Paul's persuasive words that it seems as if Agrippa was quite captivated and intrigued by the message that the Apostle Paul spoke. And in verse 28, we are told there, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. In such a short space of time, Paul, I've only been listening to you for a few moments. I've only been listening to you give this one presentation of your gospel, and you're almost persuading me to be a Christian, to believe in this Christ that you speak of. And I just love the Apostle Paul's reply to Agrippa. He says, I would to God. You see, the Apostle Paul understood that it wasn't just the persuasiveness of words. It wasn't just the passion of delivery. It wasn't just the knowledge that men and women have about a certain message. But it is a divine spark. It is a holy movement of the Spirit. It is the wind that blows where it listeth. And we don't know how and when God's converting power will be effectual. But, says the Apostle Paul, I would to God that all these two, all these others, that Festus and Bernice and all the Jews that had come down from Jerusalem and all the people that are here in the court, all the high people of Caesarea, even my jailers that have kept me in prison for these 2 years past, I would that they too would believe. Because Paul knew that it was only by God that men and women can believe. He believed in sovereign grace, and he believed in the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul didn't believe in man's free will, and neither should we. It was Paul's burden for sinners, wherever he got the opportunity, to present the gospel to them, knowing that it was God's will then to take that gospel and apply it savingly to the hearts and lives of men and women. And our passion ought to be like Paul's. People might be brought under the sound of the gospel, but it is the Holy Spirit who gathers them into the body of Christ. It's a lovely little ending to this passage where Agrippa says, "You've almost persuaded me to be a Christian." And the Apostle Paul says, "I wish you were altogether like I am, a Christian, except for these bonds." Some people are just curious. They're almost Christians. They listen to the gospel. They hear the gospel. They may even think about the gospel and ask questions about the gospel. They're curious. But what is important is that we are converts. That we are not almost Christians, but we are altogether Christians. A work of grace, a work of God. Agrippa knew that there was no condemnable offence in Paul. His testimony was recorded here at the end of this chapter in order that we might know and all the successive generations might know that Paul was clear of all the Jews' allegations. But the Apostle Paul had appealed to Caesar, and therefore a lesser court could not take away that right that he had applied for. And so he must appear at Rome. And so Christ's promise would be fulfilled, that he would preach at Rome. He would preach to Jews, he would preach to kings, he would preach to governors. It was exactly how the Lord Jesus Christ had ordained and designed the public ministry of the Apostle Paul. Paul's message was God's gospel of Jesus' death and resurrection. And the secular world of the day, men like Festus, who was a Roman, they thought that it was mad. And people might say that we are mad because we believe the gospel and because we come and we sit and we listen to messages like this. And the religious world, they might try to, like the Jews did with Paul, to silence this message and suppress it. Because they say, well, we don't believe in sovereign grace, we believe in man's free will. But from these dusty provincial villages of Judea and Galilee to Rome's mighty metropolis, the gospel would be heard to the saving of souls and to the gathering in of the Church of Jesus Christ. God's means of gathering his people and his church will succeed through the preaching of the gospel. And we hope and we expect and we await the Lord yet to open eyes and to turn souls from darkness to light, and to deliver men and women and boys and girls from the power of Satan unto God, to forgive sins, to grant everlasting life through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And may it be our prayer to the glory of our risen, glorified Lord, that men and women, boys and girls, will yet be, as we are, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. Amen. Thank you.